that there's nothing new under the sun. And there's nothing new to mankind. And we all have similar problems, regardless of where you live on this earth, regardless of when you lived on this earth, the problems are pretty much the same. Pretty much the same. And we are living in a time, we're increasingly living in a time that can gender fear, that can bring fear into our lives. Honestly, the outlook, not just of our nation, but the outlook of our world at this moment is very bleak. Honestly, there's not much in the systems of our nation and in the systems of the world to be happy about or to rejoice over. Not much at all. We're bombarded now with but again, we're not the first people or the only people to be dealing with this stuff, okay? So understand that. We're not unique. We're not even the worst. But we're looking now at inflation. And they suggest that every family will have to fork over almost $500 more a month to do what they've been doing all along. The gas prices are rising and the miles per gallon are now dropping because of the ethanol. Food prices are just mind-blowing. And this could easily bring fear. Shortages, food shortages. You've noticed some of the things that you want or need are gone. You've been in the store when the meat section has been empty. You've heard about the shortage of baby formula. And this stuff can bring fear into our lives. The politics are discouraging at best. They're disgusting at worst. Would that about say it right? Discouraging at the best, disgusting at the worst. Corruption, terrible corruption, not our nation only, but the world. Threats looming. I mean, it looks bleak. And I say all of that, and disease, viruses, okay? 2 years ago, the world was in great fear. Some are still living in that fear. This stuff is real. And I say all of that because it would be awful if you and I, as children of God, lived in fear. It would be terrible if you and I lived in fear. Now listen, I'm not saying, hear me well, I'm not saying that you shouldn't be prudent. Okay? Be prudent. That's a scriptural thing. Look down the road. See what may be coming. Prepare for it the best you can. Okay? I like what Steve said. Years ago, I asked him about his garden. He said, well, he said, I planted it. The rest is pretty much up to God. And I've never forgot that. And I've used it several times. You know? I planted it. The rest is pretty much, I mean, not all of it, but most of it's pretty much up to God. So I'm not saying don't be prudent. We all should learn to be a little more self-sufficient, right? Rely less and less on things. Store food, plant food, be conservative. Don't throw everything away. I said to someone yesterday, we live in a throwaway society. try to fix your things, try to save your things, try to save money. I'm not saying don't be prudent. But I'm saying after you've been prudent, and after you've done the best you can do, then like Steve, say the rest is up to God. And I know that He loves me, and I know that He cares for me, and I know that He will lead and guide me. And so the people here in Isaiah's day, and he his ministry was, I don't know, maybe 50 years long or something like that, and his ministry to the people of the southern kingdom lasted through, I think, three kings, maybe four kings. And so they were dealing with, you know, pretty much everything that everybody deals with. But he tells them here in, and he tells them this several times in the book of Isaiah. We looked at one 6 or 7 weeks ago. Fear not. And he says now here in verse number 1 of chapter 43, to fear not. To fear not. And I want to just go down over the next 15 or 20 minutes and look at this text and look at the reasons why we should not fear. The reasons given why we should not live in fear. Listen, God has not given us the spirit of fear. If you're living in fear, that's not from God. That's from the enemy. Now, whether that enemy is your own self or whether it's the devil, I don't know. But sometimes we are our own worst enemy, right? But that fear is not from God. Now you understand, please, you understand, you're smart enough to understand that, to know that this is different than what we talk about, the fear of God, fearing God. We're talking about us living in fear of what tomorrow holds. What is on the horizon? What if there's no food? What if I get sick? That type of fear. And the first thing that he gives us here as the reason why, but in verse 1, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for or because I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Listen, verse number 7. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. God has created us. God has made us. We are his creation. Now think about that for a minute. The one who has created us, the one who has formed us, the one to whom we belong, we are his, and he has told us to not be afraid. Our Creator has told us to not be afraid. Look at Psalm 100 and verse number 3. Psalm 100. And verse number 3. Well, let's just read the whole 100th Psalm. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Okay? Make a joyful noise. Serve the Lord with what? Gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us. And not we ourselves. We are his what? We're his people. And the sheep of his what? Pasture. We're the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Be thankful to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is what? Good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. The psalmist tells us to be joyful, to serve God with gladness, to come before his presence with singing, and know this, he made us. We are His people. We are the sheep of His pasture. God, the one God, the true God, the only God, the Almighty God, the Creator of all things. We are His people. We are the sheep of His pasture. He made us. He formed us. And it is He who tells us to not be afraid. He created us for His purposes. We are made for the purposes of God. He created us for His pleasure. And He created us for His praise. And that one that takes such an interest in us, that one who made us, created us, formed us, who has made us for His purpose and for His pleasure, that one, the one who calls us His people, the one who says, "You are the sheep of My pasture." Now listen, a shepherd is very, very careful and concerned and protective of his pasture. You said, "You've been a shepherd?" "No, but I raised chickens." And several weeks ago, a coon got in and dragged one of my pullets off. I followed the feathers into the woods. And so I knew that I had to block up their coop, close their coop every night, the door. And I went out the other night after dark to close their door, and I walked in their run, and I walked up to their coop door, and I saw below, in the run, below the coop, I saw a coon. He was probably moments, I mean literally moments, from making his way up into that coop and having him a big old chicken dinner. So I quickly closed the door to the coop, backed out, closed the door to the run, went and got my .22, you know the rest. A farmer, a rancher, a shepherd, a pet owner, they care for their flock. They watch out for their herds. They dress their pet in a little coat and call it baby. And that God has told us to not fear. Secondly, in verse number 1 of chapter 43, not only has He created us and made us, but He's redeemed us. He's redeemed us. So now He has, if you will, a double interest in us. God has a double interest in us. He has an interest in us as Creator. He made us. We are His. But now He has another interest in us, in particular, that He has redeemed us by His Son. He has bought us, paid a high price for us. 1 Corinthians 6:20, you're bought with a price. Think about it. Think about it. The one who redeemed us, the one who saved us, the one who died, gave His own life, gave His own life and died a terrible death, shed His blood for us. Says, fear not. The one who died a terrible death, shed His own blood, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Creator of the world, has told us not to fear. He gave Himself for us. God is, although some have this religious view, and we'll kind of continue this thought in a moment, but some have this religious view, they would be called deist. And many of the founding fathers of America were deist. They believed in God the Creator. But the deist typically believes that God created the world and created mankind and created everything in the world and then just basically took off. Like a deadbeat dad. Deadbeat dad fathers a child and then disappears. Doesn't want to have anything to do with the child. You can't read. You can't read 10 minutes in the Bible, in the Word of God, and think that that's our God. He loves us and cares for us. So much so that He redeemed us with the precious blood of His Son. That's how much He loves us. And it is He who tells us to fear not. I have formed thee. I have redeemed thee. And not only that, but in verse number 1, He said, I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Thou art mine. He has called us by name. This means that He not only created you and formed you in your mother's womb, but He bought you off the auction block of sin through redemption. But He knows you. He knows you. And He calls you by name. The Bible says that every hair of your head is numbered. Every hair of your head. You couldn't do that. You couldn't do that. Because halfway through you'd have to start over. Because you lose hair all day long. Right? You shower, you lose hair. You wash your hair, you lose hair. You brush your hair, you lose hair. You stand there and do nothing and you lose hair. You scratch your beard and you lose hair. It's disgusting. Let's move on. He not only knows our name, but He knows that intimate detail about us. Well, I guess what we're trying to show you this morning is that He cares. It's not just someone say, don't be afraid. No, God has an interest in us, and He cares. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. I know them, and they follow me. He knows everything about us. He knows the words we speak, the thoughts that we think, the places we go, the things that we do. He knows all about us. And the one who knows us that well has told us to not fear. The one that is the most intimate with us. Would that not be correct? Would that not be a correct saying? The one who is the most intimate of us, the most intimate with us. My wife doesn't know how many hairs I have. And half the time I forget her name, so. We laugh and joke. We said, boy, we're going to be a hilarious old couple. The one who is the most intimate of us, the most intimate with us, the one who knows every single thing about us, it is He who has told us to not be afraid. He says in verse number 2, when thou passest through the waters, when you go through the rivers, when you go through the fire, when the flame is upon you. In other words, the valleys, the burdens, the difficult times, the floods, the troubles. He says in verse 2, I will be with thee. I'll be with you. And we saw in chapter 41, not only is He going to be with us, but He's going to hold our hand. Through the fire, through the flood, with us. Some of us have been there. We just feel like we're drowning in trouble. But he said, I'm with you. Matthew 28, 20. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. I'm with you always. There's never a time that God is not with us. Think about Noah. We dealt with him last week, talked about Noah and the ark last week, the flood. He was with Noah. In fact, it was God who shut the door. And I would assume not God that opened the door. Think about Daniel in the lion's den. It was God that was in there with him to shut the mouths of the lions. Think of the three Hebrew boys in the furnace. When they came out, not a hair was singed, and they didn't even smell like smoke. Think of Peter as he stepped out of the boat and walked toward the Lord Jesus Christ and then got his eyes on the storm and he began to sink. And the Lord reached out with his hand. We talked about that 6 weeks ago. Pulled him up. Think about the disciples in the boat in the storm. He showed up and said, peace, be still. Think about Paul and Silas in the prison in shackles. God broke their chains and set them outside the prison walls. Think about David as he faced Goliath. You have a sword and a shield, and I come to you in the name of the Lord. On and on we could go. On and on we could go. Even in death. Because, you know, listen. Not everyone's going to make it out of the lion's den. The history of the church teaches us that, right? Not everyone's going to make it out of the fiery furnace. The history of the church teaches us that. Hebrews, we read about it. Those that were sawn asunder. Those that were burned. Not everyone is released from prison. But David said, even in death, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Someone tell me. Thou art with me. Thou art with me. God's holding our right hand and he whispers to us, I'm with you. I'm with you. So as things get worse and worse and worse in the world in which we live, and you're tempted to be afraid, how will we eat? How will we drive back and forth to work? What about this new virus? As we begin to fear, let us remember that our God, our Creator, our Redeemer, the one who knows us better than anyone knows us, has told us to not fear. Verse number 4, he loves us. Verse 4, I've loved thee. I've given men for thee. Think about Israel as they make their escape from Egypt. And they come to the Red Sea. And there's nowhere to go. And the Egyptian army is coming from behind. What did God do? He opened the Red Sea. And he held back those great walls of water. And the wind came and dried the bottom of that sea. And that entire million some people walked across that seabed on dry land. But that's not where it stops. The Egyptian army they follow in pursuit. They get right down there in the midst of that seabed. And what does God do? He lets the walls of the water down and drowns the entire Egyptian army. I have given men for thee. I have given men for thee. I love thee. I love thee. You might not like this, but basically God said, I'll kill whoever I have to kill to protect you. You're mine. You're mine. He loves us. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. We know that God loves us and it should drive the fear out of our lives. If the Creator, the Almighty God, loves us, it means the Almighty God cares a great deal for us. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God and cast your care upon Him. For He what? He what? He careth for you. He cares for you. He loves you and He cares for you. And the Bible says He's on your side. God is on your side. And then verses 5 and 6. He will gather us. He will gather His people. From the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. He will gather His sons and daughters. From all the ends of the earth, He will gather us. No matter what we face, brother, sister, no matter what we face, we will soon be gathered to Him. Believers will soon be gathered to Him from all four corners of the earth. Either from the sweet release of death. And I'm telling you what, for those that are suffering greatly under the hand of dictators and God haters, those that are suffering for the cause of Christ, for the word of God, for their testimony, those that are suffering, death is a welcome friend. It is a sweet release. And we'll be gathered to Him either through the sweet release of death or the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. He'll call us home. Life is like a roller coaster. Sometimes it's fun, and sometimes it's terrifying. Just tighten your grip, fasten your seatbelt, and it'll be over in 2 minutes and 20 seconds. Life has its good times, its calm times. I mean, listen. You're standing out at 6 a.m. in your garden with a cup of coffee. And it's 67, 68 degrees, a cool, gentle breeze, and your garden is flourishing, and your chickens are bucking. And you take a sip of coffee and you say, life is good. And then a half hour later, it's completely changed, right? Listen, through the difficult, depressing, terrifying, painful times, just grip God's hand a little bit tighter. Know that He loves you and cares for you. Know that what He allows in your life is for His glory and for your good. Just grab His hand a little bit tighter and hang on. Before long, brother and sister, it'll all be over. It'll all be over. Verse number 7, He has created us for His glory. Even everyone that is called by My name, for I have created him for My glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Whatever God brings us to or allows to come into our life is for His glory. And as I said earlier, it's for our good. God doesn't take glory at our expense, but it's for our good. Remember the blind man. Oh, why was he blind? Was his parents sinners? He was blind so that he could be healed, so that God could get the glory. What happened to Job was for the glory of God. What happened with Joseph being sold into slavery by his own brothers was to the glory of God. And listen, in the end, saved Joseph's entire family alive. For your good, for his good. Had Joseph not been sold by his jealous brothers, had he then not been falsely accused of rape and thrown into prison, if all of that had never happened, and listen, those are two pretty bad things, would you agree? Being sold into slavery and hauled into another nation by your own brothers is, that's got to be a top 10 of bad things. being accused of, falsely accused of what he was accused of? Bad. That's a bad thing. Wouldn't wish that upon anyone. If those things had not happened like they happened, Joseph and his brothers and his father, they would have all died by starvation. What happened to Lazarus was for God's glory. What happened to Egypt and Israel at the Red Sea, for God's glory. On and on and on we could go. On and on. For God's glory. For God's glory. For God's glory. For God's glory. And listen, brother and sister, whatever happens in the future here, in our lives, in our nation's life, it ultimately is for His glory. And we know that all things work together for the what? Good of them who love the Lord and those who are the called according to His purpose. And then last of all, verses 10 and 11. Fear not, because He is Lord. He's Lord. Listen, this world seems completely out of control, doesn't it? This world seems like a runaway train, a runaway semi, out of control. But guess what? Our God, our Father, is Lord. And He is in control. He is in control. God is not afraid. God is not living in fear. God is not pacing the heavens. God is not worrying. God is not working on a plan B. God is not doing any of these things. God is not calling in reinforcements. God has not barricaded Himself somewhere. God is in control. Everything that happens is by His design. And He says, fear not. Now listen. You will fear. And I will fear. And what you need to do is what I've done. And that is preach to yourself. Brother and sister, we need more of that preaching. Preaching to ourself. And I've done it a lot over the years. The psalmist David does it all the time. The psalmist David rebukes his own soul. And corrects himself. Why are you doing this? Why are you being afraid? Why are you worrying? Don't you know that God is in charge and God loves you and God cares for you? Brother and sister, you will fear. You will. You're not going to go out of this sermon and never fear again. That would be awesome if you did, but it's not going to happen. You are going to fear again. And what you need to do is you need to preach this sermon back to yourself again. I preach sermons to myself. And you need to preach sermons to yourself. You need to say, why are you doing this? Why are you acting this way? You know the God you serve. May God bless the teaching and preaching of His word this morning.